Hey, it's Spooky Boo, Mistress of Midnight, Goddess of the Scares. So it's almost Halloween. Are you ready for Halloween? Do you have your costume, your candy, your movies? What are you going to do? Tell me, hit the website, www.scarystorytime.com, and tell me what you will be doing for Halloween. I'm going to be movie binging on Halloween movies and probably Freddy Krueger's, I don't know. Going to get a big bowl of candy and pizza and totally go off my keto and eat junk all night long. But the soda will be diet. I don't know why. I don't like regular soda, do you? Anyway, go to the website www.scarystorytime.com and tell me what you will be doing for Halloween. And if you're dressing up, what you dress up as. That'll be fun. So tonight, I have for you scary stories from two callers. The first is a scary story about a creepy doll. Now, isn't that perfect for Halloween? A creepy, scary doll. This story kind of freaks me out. Old creepy dolls freak me out. And this is just, I was just sitting there listening, going, oh my God, that really happened? And it was really freaky. Then the next story after that is about a crazy cat killer in England. So the stories are going to be a lot of fun. On Sunday nights, we do this when I have the stories to show you. So if you want to call in your story, hit me up on scarystoriesonvideo@gmail.com. Send me an email. And let me know a time when you're available and we can tell scary stories. I don't do the calls live because of, you know, trollers, practical jokers, those kind of things. But I record the calls when you call. We set an appointment. I record the call. And then I put it up on the next Sunday night. At this point, I don't care. I don't have any kind of, schedule except for it's on Sunday. I don't group the stories yet. Maybe at some point when my Sunday night show becomes, you know, so popular that I'm just recording calls all week, then it'll be different. But for now, it's open line Sunday. You call me the week before and I put the story up. If there's enough of them to make a whole show out of, I'll put that up. And we can make this a regular thing. The rest of the week are creepypastas and my scary stories. By the way, I am working on an anthology of the scary stories that I have written. And I'm going to have to add a few more in there because I realize that anthologies are actually really 100,000 words. And I'm not even sure if I have 100,000 words out there on my stories. They're generally around 4,000. So I'm hoping to hit the first one this year before Christmas. However, it may be a month later. I'm not sure. It depends on if I can get all the work done in there. So if you're at the Patreon level at $25 or above, you get a signed copy. Or you can get it on Amazon.com. And depending on how many pages are on it, it'll probably be between... It'll be a paperback, so it'll be between $13 to $19, depending on how long the book actually gets to be. So you can either get a signed copy by being a member of my Patreon at the $25 level, or you can buy it directly off of Amazon, have it shipped to your house. It's not ready yet, but you can get it then. So, let's get started. Scary, creepy doll story, and then a creepy cat killer story. I don't like cat killers, but they exist, so here we go. Enjoy. Hello, this is Spooky Boo. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you, Boo. So I have a story from when I was around 4 years old.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so when I turned around 4 or 5, I guess it could have been around 5, but my dad's father died, and we bought a house with the inheritance money, and it was an awesome little neighborhood, very picturesque, white picket fence, mm-hmm. and lots of other children to play with. Mm-hmm. And I was so super excited because we had been in a place where there wasn't a ton of children, and even if there were, it was a very bad place, and we didn't really want to play outside. So I was excited if I would be able to go outside, ride my bike. And our next door neighbor had a daughter who was my exact same age, and we became really close friends. Mm-hmm. But we could never play at her house, and I didn't know why. And she kept telling me it's because there's a doll that her mom has, and she doesn't want us going near it. So I kept thinking, okay, maybe it's some expensive doll. It might be this China doll. And maybe it's a family heirloom. Well, I didn't think heirloom at the age of 5. I thought, like, you know, maybe it's been passed down. It's super important. Mm-hmm. But it really just seemed strange. So I asked, I was like, well, can we just not go in the room where the doll is? And she always said, no one can come to our house because of the doll.
Okay.
And it was just so bizarre. So one day we were getting into the car to go to school, and I see her mom doing the same thing, putting her in the car. And so I ran over to her mom and I asked her, I was like, hey, when we're done with school today, can I come over to your house to play? And her mom looked at me and said, no, we don't have visitors at our house. And it just seemed strange because she wasn't just my friend. These were my neighbors.
Yeah.
So I told my parents about how we were never allowed to go in the house, but she was always allowed to go to our house. So my dad goes over one day and asks, you know, is there a problem? Why can't we go into their house? And he worried because we lived in, you know, Texas. Was it like a racist thing? Did they just not like us? What was it?
Yeah.
And they explained to him that they had this family doll, and really creepy things happened around this doll. And so they just didn't have people that ever came over. So my dad said, well, can we just move it to a different room? My daughter will never go over to that room. And after a good, you know, 30, 40 minutes of discussing, their family fun, my parents said, all right, one time. If it goes well, maybe we'll let her come over again. Mm-hmm. So that afternoon, I was so super excited. I went over to her house. We were going to play Candyland. I remember what we were wearing. Got into my little pink dress with a cute little white bow, and she was in this little green jumpsuit. And we played Candyland, and it all went perfect.
Nice.
But
always a
when I was in that, right? When I was in the house, of course, I was hyper aware that there's some creepy doll somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't see it. They told me it's in the far back room. Don't go in there. And so I thought the weird feeling I was having was just me being paranoid of this doll. And it was just me, wash it off, whatever. It's not real. Because my parents had just had to talk to me about, you know, scary movies not being real. You just scare yourself. So I kept telling myself, I'm scaring myself. You're mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. And I tried to focus on my excitement playing with my friends. So we came back the next day and we played again, but that feeling kept getting stronger. And their bathroom was not right by the living room because we're only allowed to go in the living room. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit further back into the house, closer to the room that we're not supposed to go into. And I asked to go to the restroom. And when I went into the restroom, that feeling got worse and worse and worse. And after I did my business, I went to go wash my hands. And as I was washing my hands, I distinctly heard my name being said.
Oh, my God.
Which I did. And it was so scary because it wasn't coming from the door. Mm-hmm. It was coming from the other side of that wall.
Oh.
And I knew no one was home except for my friend and her mom. And right after I heard my name being said, I heard both of them giggling and laughing in the living room.
Oh, no.
So I bolted out of the bathroom, but I didn't want to say anything because I had just gotten to where I could go with my friend's house to play.
Right. Oh.
So I asked her to come and play at my house for the next couple of days. And things went back to normal, forgot about it. But then a week later, she wanted to play in her backyard. Mm-hmm. So she asked her parents while we were over there in the living room after school. I didn't see anything wrong with it. Like, guess where the window of the room we're not supposed to go in faces?
Was it
the backyard?
Was it staring at
so
you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we're playing kickball in her backyard. I'm not thinking about it. My other two sisters were in the backyard playing with us too. Mm-hmm. And right as I go to kick the ball at my eldest sister, I look over it in the window. You can see, and I know this sounds cliche. I know everyone's going to be like, you watched Annabelle one too many times, but it was a Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh,
you see its head popping out the window. Now, I didn't think anything of it necessarily. It was like, oh, that's just, I don't know. Raggedy Ann dolls have always just looked weird to me. Mm-hmm. And to see it right there just seemed random. I didn't know that was a specific room. That was just a general area. Mm-hmm. And I just figured maybe that's just where they put the doll. But then, as we were packing up to go inside, the doll was gone again.
Oh, no.
And I thought, you know, okay, well, maybe someone was in that room cleaning and, you know, you just move stuff over by the window. It got pressed into the window. Oh. And then it was such a disgusting feeling. I actually went home and I threw up. I tried to rationalize it. It just felt oppressive and bad. So I didn't want to go over to her house. I made every excuse. I let her come over to our house. I made every excuse for a month. But my sisters finally wanted to go. And they were a little bit older than me, so they didn't play with us a lot.
Yeah.
But they wanted to go to this big forbidden house. Because at this point, everyone in the neighborhood knew these were the weird family that you don't go into their house. And they were letting a couple people in. Other two sisters went to a different school than me. And the rumors from that neighbor finally got back to that school.
Mm-hmm.
That this is like the forbidden house. My sisters wanted to go. Their friends were pressuring them to go so they could have stories. And they wanted to sneak into that forbidden room.
Uh-huh.
And they figured with there being three of us, two could cause a distraction. The other two could go in the room. My middle sister was way too chicken to go into the room, but she wanted to be in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So she went to go cause the distraction. She, air quote, fell off of the couch when she stood on it, when she's not supposed to, and plopped down on the ground, pretended to be in so much pain. The mother was distracted. My eldest sister said that she was going to go to the bathroom to get a nice little cool, wash rag,
right,
and some look for a Band-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
My friend's mom said, that's fine. And I said I was going to go with her. So we go off towards that bathroom, and I didn't want to do this, but my sister's dragging me by the hand. And she goes, is that the room? And I told her, yeah, that's the room. It's, you know, right next to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I had not told them what I experienced at this point because I didn't want to seem like I was crazy. I didn't think anyone would believe me.
Mm-hmm.
So my sister pushes open the door. And inside this room, there is almost, I guess, plexiglass from the floor to the ceiling, cutting off half the room, but you can see right through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a chair right by the window, and there's a Raggedy Ann doll.
Oh, no.
In the chair. And as we went in there, you just feel worse and worse and worse.
Oh.
And we got all the way in there, shut the door, and my sister looks down at me and she's like, I don't know what it is, but I don't like this. Then all of a sudden, she just, like a lightning just went down her spine, stands straight up, and bolts out of the room. I ran right after her. We get back in the living room. She grabs my sister, who is faking being injured, arm and leaves the house. I am right behind them.
Wow.
As we leave, the mother, I look over my shoulder, the mother is shutting her door and she looks furious, clearly knowing what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We get into the house and I look at my sister and I was like, what's wrong? And she's like, you didn't hear that? And I'm looking at her confused. Like, I didn't hear any, I didn't like being in the room, but I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
She heard a soft child's voice in her ear tell her that they knew she was the one that poured shaving cream underneath my dad's bed.
Oh, no, and she did that?
No one knew she did it. We all three got in so much trouble for it. None of us would admit who did it. And so we all went like 3 weeks of extra chores, not watching television, because no one would admit who did it.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
And she was just in so many tears crying. So I wish that was the end of the story, but it wasn't. me and the neighbor's kid went to the same school. And she wasn't allowed to acknowledge us when we were home. Mm-hmm. Never came over to our house. We never went to her house.
Right.
Her parents wouldn't talk to our parents. Nothing. Finally at school about, I would say it was actually the next year, so I'm like 6 or 7. I asked her what was wrong. And she said that that doll was possessed.
Mm-hmm.
It's been in their family for years. And they've tried to get rid of it. They've actually flown with it to New Jersey because we're from Texas. Mm-hmm. They flew to New Jersey and they tried to leave it behind. It always gets mailed back to them.
Mailed back
and every they like left it. They threw it in rivers. It gets mailed back to them. It doesn't just appear, but it gets mailed back to them.
Oh, that's and creepy.
Yeah. And I didn't believe her at first, but she said that every single time that they have tried to get rid of it, something horrible happened. Their uncle dies a couple of days later. And there is an article where her and her parents were in her car, and this is right after an attempt to get rid of the doll. The car lost power steering just out of nowhere,
mm-hmm.
went over the edge of a, not a cliff, but like into an embankment, the Trinity River, when it was full. And the family got out, luckily, but they almost died. They could have drowned.
Oh, man.
And stuff like that just kept happening to the point where they were like, okay, I guess we have to keep the doll. And I'm like, okay, but why is it, like, encased in glass? And they were like, oh, we had a priest bless it, and the doll's known to move around. So they wanted to contain it as best they could. But if you put it in a box or something like that, it gets angry, and you can hear it in your ear. Just saying horrible things to you.
Oh, man. Didn't they try to chop it up into pieces? Burn it.
Huh?
They try to burn chop it up into pieces or burn it?
I guess after trying to get rid of it and bad things happening, I don't know. I can understand the logic of, well, if I do this to it, if I don't even hurt it and bad shit happens, imagine if I'd like try to kill it. I don't know.
Right.
So,
you.
Yeah, that's like the absolute creepiest thing that happened to me. And while I, other than it saying my name, that, or hearing my name rather, that one time, I still try to be skeptical. Other than hearing my name that one time and just feeling these creepy feelings,
mm-hmm.
That's about the most paranormal thing that's ever happened to me. It's creepy and surreal. And seeing my sister, I don't think she was lying. And I don't, and knowing my sister, she never would have admitted to the shaving cream thing. Mm-hmm. Never would have. Would have taken it to her grave.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is creepy.
So,
dolls are creepy in general. Yeah. But, oh.
Ta-da!
It was awesome.
Yeah, that's you got the best out of me. You got the best story I actually have.
That is pretty.
And it happened. I don't know what happened to them. We moved when my mom left our family, and we moved. I didn't keep track of the family. I tried Googling them. I haven't seen any articles, but yeah.
Oh wow.
The family stuck taking care. The moral of the story is Raggedy Ann dolls. Don't do it. Not worth it.
No. No, dolls are creepy enough as it is, and I do not like Raggedy Ann dolls, so you won't catch
me. I don't
me
like dolls either. I have one stuffed dog that I had from when I was born, but I don't think he's creepy looking.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's it. Nope, I don't do dolls. Mm-mm, nope. Mm-mm. And if he starts talking to me, I'll do what you said, burn it.
Yeah. I agree.
Anywho, it's been a pleasure being on your podcast, Miss Boo.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in and telling that story. It's pretty awesome.
Anytime. Anywho, I know you've got other stuff to do, so I'll let you go. And thank you. I love creepy stories, so.
Excellent. Well, tune in anytime.
Will do. All right. You take care.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Bye.
Story number two with Ginger, who has a YouTube channel and a very freaky killer cat story.
The identity of the Croydon cat killer is one of the biggest mysteries of recent years. Hundreds of cats across England have been dismembered and decapitated in a series of grisly killings that began in Croydon, South London. Reports of cat deaths in Croydon began in 2014, and the South Norwood Animal Rescue and Liberty, Snarl, reported incidents of cat mutilation to the police in October 2015. Snarl now believes the killings to go back as far as 2010, after they were approached by families about deadly attacks on pets up to 3 years before. By November 2015, the Metropolitan Police launched an official investigation into the killings under the name Takahi and led by Detective Sergeant Andy Collins. The RSPCA said in 2016 that many of the deaths were the result of blunt force trauma, which Snarl claims is the result of the animal being thrown against walls. Some cats had also been dismembered or cut in half. Police reportedly had not found any evidence that the animals were deliberately killed by humans. The RSPCA has taken many cats to the vet surgery for autopsies. In February 2016, a vet stated that he found a raw chicken in the stomachs of several killed cats, suggesting they had possibly been lured to their deaths with the offer of meat. Tony Jenkins from Snarl told the BBC that he believed that the animals were killed elsewhere and brought to the scene due to the absence of blood. While the majority of the dead animals were cats, other animals were also apparently victims of the Croydon cat killer. Rabbits were also found and mutilated, while Snarl reported a fox head left in the car park of a Tesco in Caterham, a claim that could not be confirmed by the spokesman for the supermarket. The deaths of 10 cats across London have been linked by a veterinarian surgeon, while police said at the time that the number of cases was still in the single digits. By April 2016, Snarl had recorded 50 attacks, north, south, and east London, Guildford, and in Surrey. The figure leapt to 100 in June of the same year, and is believed the Croydon cat killer is responsible for the deaths of more than 400 cats across England during their grisly spree, although police believe there is a possibility of a copycat killer. Reports of mutilated cats spread outside the boundaries of the capital, leading to the individual being named the M25 cat killer. However, attacks were soon reported as far as north as Manchester, leading the individual to be renamed once again as the UK Cat Killer. Chief Inspector Michael Butcher of the RSPCA Special Operations Unit, working closely with the police, has examined cases in a 117-mile radius of the M25. 30 to 40 suspects were narrowed down to two possible sightings. Snarl claimed the Surrey police described the alleged killer as a white man in his 40s, with facial scars, dark clothes, and short brown hair, who may be wearing a headlamp or carrying a torch. Possible motive. DC Collins said in 2017 that the killer may be motivated by a vendetta against women, as cats are associated with the feminine. He added, the killer can't deal with the woman or women who are troubling him. Forensic psychologist Dr. Cody McKenna describes the perpetrator as someone deeply disturbed and has developed a hostility to something being nurtured and cared for. Psychics agree it is usually a personal attack against humans, in this case, the pet owners. While psychics disagree on the age of the perpetrator, they are in agreement it is a single male. He is an opportunist killer who enjoys trespassing on other people's property. If he attacks to release some sort of emotional pain and will not stop, he will strike again. One possible suspect in Caterham was chased by locals but lost. A reward has been offered by Pater of £5,000 and Outpace another £5,000, bringing the total to £10,000 for information leading to an arrest. Hashtag UK animal killer. Hashtag in this now. Metropolitan Police have now closed the investigation and conclude that foxes are indeed to blame. In the statement, the Met said, following a thorough examination of the available evidence, officers working alongside experts have concluded that hundreds of reported cat mutilations in Croydon and elsewhere were not carried out by a human and are likely to be the result of predation or scavenging by wildlife. Tony Jenkins from SNARL, animal rescue organization working with the Metropolitan Police investigation, states this has taken over his life. Amidst the daily reports he receives, and a pet owner found her cat Amber dead in a neighbor's back garden last summer and told Sky News she still cries over the loss of her cat and is worried about the killer and what he's doing to other cats, and is he doing it tonight? Another cat owner stated, I'll do it to him with a knife. DC Collins told Sky that there is a known link between serial killers and the harming of animals when you look into their dark history. If you look at offending patterns, the assumption is the killer is getting some form of gratification. The concern is they will cease getting that and escalate to the attacks to humans, specifically vulnerable young women. Scotland Yard said in its 3 years investigation, at the cost of £500,000, we saw dozens of slain animals examined and has concluded humans are unlikely to have been responsible for the killings. Police believe the cats are likely hit and killed by cars and scavenging foxes, then mutilated body parts, especially the head and tail. Stephen Harris, a retired professor of environmental sciences at the University of Bristol, who studied the behavior of foxes for 50 years, has asserted in July this year that there may not be a killer. He wrote in The New Scientist that the pattern of blunt force trauma, followed by removal of the head and tail, was consistent with road traffic accidents and scavenging foxes. Professor Harris reported to a similar series of cat deaths in the 1990s in Greater London, where he concluded that the animals had been killed by cars and mutilated by foxes. Metropolitan Police have now closed their investigation and concluded that foxes are indeed to blame. In a statement, the Met said, following a thorough examination of available evidence, officers working alongside experts have concluded that hundreds of reported cat mutilations in Croydon and elsewhere were not carried out by a human and are likely to be the result of predation or scavenging by wildlife. I am not the Pink Panther, so I'm not privy to Scotland Yard and the Metropolitan Police investigation. However, I have my own theory to add. A vet that has done the forensic autopsies of many pets brought in the investigation by Tony Jenkins and SNARL, the animal rescue, and says that the cats are mutilated by a sharp object, like a knife, before a scavenger could have got to them. To me, my theory, I grew up in the country. We had lots of pets. Cats in particular love to rest in someplace warm, hence the windowsill in the sun, the clothes dryer, and the hood or bonnet of a car. Sometimes they will crawl up and into the warm engine area and fall asleep. When the engine starts, the radiator fan, or cooling fans, cut up kitty. My mom had the habit of, if she didn't see the cat before getting in the car, honking the horn once before starting the engine. I remember one cat, Princess, badly cut in the stomach by the fan from the car. Also, the road I grew up riding my bike on, no child could ever ride on now. I lived in a house less than a decade ago, and all my cats had to stay indoors because they would get hit by a car in 1 to 6 months tops. There's more traffic on the roads now than ever. The world has changed, and suburbia is very cramped. And, well, that's my story.
Wow. So, are they... I mean,
I know for a fact I've seen cats hit on the side of the road, which is really unfortunate because I love cats. Their heads
I do too.
Yeah. Their heads and tails aren't removed when they're hit by a car. They're flattened, but they're not. They're not decapitated.
That's true, and it's but the scavenging of the foxes would do that, I think. You know, possibly they'd like to take some part of it and store it quite quickly in case other scavengers. I mean, they wouldn't. What they're trying to say is they wouldn't pick up the whole cat at once. You think, oh, well, the foxes are going to pick up the whole cat and run off with it. No, they just grab, bite a bit off. And take that away, and then come back for some more later.
Right.
I love foxes too. This is why I didn't put a picture of the guilty fox in the video that I made about it.
Right.
It's like I'm not going to. The fox is just being a fox. He's not done anything wrong, you know.
So is your theory that, I mean, your personal theory that there was no person doing it, or that it actually was a creeper?
No, I don't. I don't believe that there's a person out there, you know, doing this.
Right.
Oh, apparently, the copycat killings have gone as far as Canada and Washington State, where they're talking about someone's going around killing cats. But it's no. Even if you're talking about a cat being cut by something very clean, we had so many cats that would climb into the engine area of the cars. And it's even colder in England than it was in where I lived in the States at the time. You know, so cats love to be warm.
Right.
Even if, you know, this would explain why so many people would actually find their cat nearby. So it's either a neighbor's car or their car, and it got in the engine, and when you crank it up, it cuts Kitty very badly. And then Kitty just kind of dies outside. Very quickly, and they're scavenged by foxes, but or they find it and it's cut. It looks like it's been cut with a knife, but it hasn't.
We have people here who go out to Nevada, and I think they were caught, but they went out to Nevada and sniping on wild horses, and then
they were killing horses.
Yeah, they were sniping wild horses, Mustang. And there was supposedly somebody here sniping on cats, whatever they had. I mean, they thought it was, they weren't sure if it was a gun or something else, but the cat's arm was shattered in a way that it could only have been a projectile that hit it. So,
there are bad people all over the place.
And they
do terrible things. I absolutely do not believe that there's one person or even two people running around London killing hundreds of cats.
Right.
You know, I just don't buy it at all either. And to think that we spent, you know, $500,000 of the taxpayers' money over the last 3 years while Scotland Yard was investigating whether or not there was a person doing it. And, you know, there's a lot of CCTV around, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, maybe not necessarily on suburban streets, though, but... there's a lot of CCTV around. If it, you know, it would possibly, they would have got a picture or something, you know, legit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest problem with somebody like that, not to mention that these could be personal cats and somebody's personal property, but when people do hurt animals, they escalate to human beings. So maybe that was their concern.
Yeah.
Scotland Yard's concern at the time is that they didn't want the cat killer to escalate to humans.
But I found the take of it, you know, about how cats are associated with the feminine, so he's going to attack women next, or he hates women and that's why he's doing it. You know? And it was just like, how many different angles can they come up with on this story? I read about it, and this is very recently that they closed the case. It was only just a week or two ago that I read about it. I actually read the same part of the story twice. I figured that out when I was reading it. Did you notice that? Oh, my goodness. She's repeating herself over and over again. It's the first time I'd ever copied it out. I had like 5 different pages when I actually did the recording, and I didn't want to do that. So I actually tried to, you know, do a proper printout of it this time, but I didn't check it beforehand. So there was like one short little paragraph that I read twice. I can't even remember what I was going to say. But yeah, it's just it's a brand new story, and since I read something about Andy Wells, he was the one that inspired me by talking about the copycat killings. He had me at copycat killings. So I went and did a lot of research. There's quite a, you know, there's a bit, a lot of information on the internet for everything, and I listed all the sources for it. But I just found it a really fascinating story, and I'd never punched out a story to see how fast I can do something. I did it in 48 hours from start to finish, which is that will be the record, trust me, for a very long time, because I have no intention of ever punching out a story that quickly.
So where on YouTube can people find the story on your channel?
Yeah, it's Ginger Nightmare. I'm Ginger Nightmare on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And so I've got, you know, this story is up for Halloween. And, I've got two white horses that I had done here previously. I think I did that one just about almost 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the proper recorded version of that one as well. I do music. I do crazy music in the background. There's no ambient piano going on here. But the Pink Panther theme is probably the slowest paced song I've done with anything. I threatened to use like a cymbal crash or something. You know, I just don't want anyone to fall asleep in the middle of my story.
where are you getting the sources of the music?
Freesound.org. I love them. I haven't used a lot of other places, sources. I usually just tend to think of something. Like when I was doing the Baby Driver story that I'd done previously, I remember thinking about Bad to the Bone, you know, that blues guitar, Bad to the Bone, da-na-na-na-na. And I just sort of typed in, okay, blues guitar. And then electric blues guitar. And before I knew it, I found it's not Bad to the Bone, but boy, does it remind you of it. It's so similar in kind of cadence, you know. And so I find it really easy with their little search engine to find what I'm looking for. And you can flick through titles very quickly because you'll just, as you start out, it'll just be on the left-hand side column. And you can just, you don't have to actually, you know, load up the piece of music to listen to it. You can just click and hear a little bit of it. You can tell usually sometimes in the first few seconds if that's right or not. So you could just click it off really quickly and then go to the next one right away. They're just like a long line and you can just keep going, you know. So you can easily listen to, you know, like 100 pieces of music in less than an hour.
Right.
Very easily. And so, you know, you can just keep moving. And, you know, sometimes you get another idea. If you don't find what you're looking for, you think, I'll try this one. I'll try that. I'll look for some cello. I'll look for, you know, whatever.
Right.
That's my favorite part of making videos. I think it's music day when I sit down. And it's like, oh, I've got to find music for this video now. And it could take me all day if I'm going to use, sometimes I'll use up to 3 or 4 pieces of music per video. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I watch movies, I'm paying more attention to the music than ever before. It's like, oh, that background piece of music worked really well for that scene.
Ideas. It makes such a big difference. It's like, why did they choose that? What was the point? It really goes with it, or it doesn't, or you just start to pay attention.
Well, it's like the video I did the shootout. That I put up with this one, I used all percussion for it. And I was heavily influenced by the television series ER, because I don't know if you ever noticed, if you watched that TV show, it's kind of old now. There's lots of reruns everywhere, but they use a lot of percussion in the hospital scenes and the emergency parts and everything. And so I was thinking, you know, like, I'm just going to go straight for just percussion for this one video, and that's what I did. Except for the very end, where I've got a little bit of a Dixieland music playing at the end. Just a short bit.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, have everybody visit your YouTube channel, Ginger Nightmare, and it's 2 words, right? Not 1 word, Ginger Nightmare.
Well, thank you. Is that good? It's 2 words.
Okay, great. That makes sure they go to the right place. And I enjoyed the story. I'm glad there's nobody out there doing it anymore, or nobody out there killing cats. Okay.
Kitties are safe. Thank you for having me. It's always so much fun. I love your channel so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.